Scott sent us a link yesterday for a smoke map. Can't remember the exact name of the link, but I checked it out, and it, from my vantage point here south of Yampa, it was perfectly accurate. The lines on the edge of the smoke plumes were visible to me from my window. Pretty interesting map if you wanted to get out of the smoke. You could find.
Yeah, you came in a little broken there, but yeah, I was looking at those as well, and it seems to be worse in the late afternoon to early evening.
Yeah, it doesn't look terrible out here right now, but it's definitely, it's building. You can see it coming. We'll give Beth another minute here, and then if he doesn't show up, we'll start your update.
Okay.
Good morning. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. We knew you hadn't forgotten about us completely.
I was trying, but it didn't work.
Yeah, there's some bad memories that may never go away. Okay, Mo, I think everybody's here. Why don't we just go ahead and get started with your weekly update?
Okay. With your approval, I'll go fairly quick because I have a 10 o'clock meeting to discuss the FEMA public assistance program with Dan and Carrie here at 10 o'clock. So we continue with the same lines of operation we have been. The first line of operation, public outreach communication, to continue to provide the news releases and monitor dashboard. The big thing in conjunction with the data management line of operation is they did update the new dashboard, which is posted now. So that dashboard is up and operating. It took a considerable amount of work to determine where the data is going to come from and then try to get that consistency. So I hope that will relieve some of the challenges we've had with inconsistent data and whatnot, as well as with Roberta having the CDERS access. That should help with some of the data as well. I already spoke about data management, and so that new dashboard has been posted. No other updates from there. Moving on to mitigation protocols, we received actually more offers of support than I think Scott can handle regarding the public outreach and communication, the monitoring. So he has two or three individuals identified that he's scheduling. And then I have another one on the bench if he needs it. So but right now he's got the support he's needed. And similar for the community testing, I have two individuals I've been cycling and a third that's offered some willingness to support. So I think we're looking good for support for both public outreach and monitoring as well as the community testing. We discussed one of the challenges we see on the updates is the storage location for PPE, and it was brought up in a recovery team that it was. I was reminded on the recovery team that I know the attorney's office has some limited space. We have a lot of test kits that we continue to get, so we'll be utilizing that as required. So I'll probably be removing that as a challenge or from our challenges here in the report you'll see by the end of the day. We continue to be about 87% compliance with our commercial establishments for the mitigation protocols. And we said we have enough people now, more actually than Scott can effectively manage. So we'll continue in that effort. I do anticipate that this level of effort though will at least remain constant, possibly increase as we, at the point we're ready to shift to protect our neighbor, to make sure that that we're within those limits and those metrics and we don't have to backslide it to increased more restrictive protocols. Scott is meeting is reviewing the protocols for the farmers market. That was a challenge identified last week with some overcrowding there. And I know Scott's talked to the director, and they're looking at those protocols to mitigate that problem. The other thing that was discussed today, which was brought up in one of our regional emergency management meetings, is a lot of the restaurants now are opening with, you know, outdoor dining to increase their social distancing capability and whatnot. And so it's particularly in the mountain communities, there's some concern or at least some discussion on what that's going to look like come wintertime when that outside dining may not be available either just due to weather or snow piled up and whatnot. So at this point, it's pretty early to have any kind of plan in place, but I'm unsure exactly what the ski season will look like. I know Commissioner Mountain was on a call that I was on yesterday with the mountain communities and discussing what the ski season will look like. And there is not an answer yet. No one really knows. But that dialogue is beginning to discuss options and ideas and whatnot. So a lot of this is dependent on what we expect the tourist season to be like this winter. But nevertheless, it is something we have to start thinking about, whether we're in protect a neighbor phase at that point, and then it's up to us to monitor and set guidelines or protocols, or whether we'll still be under the state's protocols at that point. And then we don't really have much of a decision, just monitoring at that point. For virus suppression, I know that Robin briefed that today is one of the last days, or is the last day for one of the contract nurses. So we do have a shortfall there. I know public health is continuing to pursue other hiring actions to include the epidemiologists, so those continue. We did order some N95 fit test kits. They are coming directly from 3M. The bad news is the delivery date's expected to be about 12 weeks. And I did see the order on that after our call this morning. The other challenge that continues to hamper us a little bit is the turnaround time for test kits. Also on the state call we had the other day on Wednesday, the state lab's goal is a 4-day turnaround. So I don't see it getting much better than that. And then as Roberta indicated, that does present a challenge when you're trying to isolate someone following a test, especially if they're asymptomatic and you have to wait 5 or more days. So that is something that is recognized as a challenge we have to keep working with until different testing mechanisms are available. Roberta also stated that the seasonal flu vaccine is starting to arrive. I know some of the pharmacies for the grocery chains are getting them, but it was stated that come September, they should be more readily available for more people. And also it was provided by the county manager that working with our purchasing office to start determining or developing or obtaining a sustainable and long-term solution to should we have additional members of our homeless population that test positive for COVID-19, how we can take care of them and find a place for them to shelter and isolate. So our purchasing officer is pursuing options. I do not have a delivery time or date for that yet, but I know that that challenge is being worked on right now. The Finance and Administration, no specific updates were provided, but the only thing that we'll say is at 10 o'clock today, we do have a call with the state grant expert, and that's at 10 o'clock, and Carrie Littman and Dan Stinnett and myself will be on. Basically, it's to discuss, I think FEMA, at least the way I understand it, When we originally submitted our or opened up the portal and created a login and started identifying costs and loaded invoices and whatnot, I believe the intent was to wait until the end, and then these packages would be submitted. And now there may be some discussion of doing them in intervals instead of waiting to the end. So that will be the discussion today of the way forward for the FEMA public assistance reimbursement package. Nothing to do directly with the CARES Act, which Dan is still tracking, but just the time frame of when we start submitting our FEMA PA reimbursement requests. And then the Protect Our Neighbors, it's continuing. I think our big deliverable will be identifying how we utilize the $50,000 planning grant, which was awarded to the county. And there is a meeting today, I believe at 3:45 with Commissioner Melton, Roberta, and myself to discuss some ideas on how we utilize that grant. Do we hire a contractor? Do we use resources? What's the activities going to look like? What's their deliverables and whatnot? We will discuss that this afternoon, and hopefully by next week have an idea or a specific plan going forward of how that grant will be utilized and what they'll provide for us. So I know that was real quick, but that's all I have, pending your questions.
Thanks, Mo. It was concise and quick, which I know I appreciate. Thank you for the update and a real thorough job you do. We appreciate it. Any questions for Mo on his update?
I have a question. I know, Mo, you might not know the answer, so maybe this is to direct back to virus suppression, but as we're talking about, the utility of the community testing, especially given the turnaround times, I guess I'm curious if there have been more discussions about pursuing point of care testing. I know that was something that Dr. Harrington had talked about a little bit, and I haven't heard it discussed since that first time.
Right. And interestingly enough, at the last recovery, the last call that Dr. Harrington is on, and we did discuss that. And it just so happened that, Dr. Harrington is my family doctor as well. And I had a child in there the other day, and we were, of course, talking about this. And I think we're getting at that point of maybe accepting some additional risk of a false negative. According to Dr. Harrington, if it comes back positive, it's positive, but it does have a higher risk of false negatives. But maybe getting to that point here pretty quick of accepting that risk in order to get the faster turnarounds. And I don't believe he was at that point, and I shouldn't speak for him, but in our discussions, my takeaway was we're not at that point yet, but I think it will be fairly soon of when we would adopt that PCR testing in order to get more testing as well as the quicker turnaround. But that could obviously come up. I could bring that up at the next recovery team meeting and have that conversation with Dr. Harrington again.
Yeah, it just seems to me that if we are going to continue pursuing community testing, maybe it's just something to think about, because if we can't get a quick turnaround time, then testing a bunch of asymptomatic people doesn't really help us, because they're not in isolation while we're waiting for their test results to come back, right?
Correct. And I think it's going to,
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's going to be even more critical with the schools opening. I mean, it's one thing to, have, during the summer have people that, may have to stay home, but, if you want to, keep the schools safe, you want to isolate, those students that may test positive, I think it'll be even more critical for schools.
Yeah, and just, I guess, one other thing I was going to say, I know there continues to be question about whether our community testing is a good use of our resources, and I understand those questions. I also am noticing that there are more communities across the state just now opening community test sites. So I just think we should be really careful about how we evaluate that. And I don't know what all the considerations are, but I wouldn't be too quick to just say we're not going to do it, given that so many other communities are just starting doing it now. I would just wonder why we would make a decision to move in the other direction.
No, that continues in our, you know, in our recovery team structure that has been identified as a priority, both the community testing and follow-on contact tracing. And I still firmly believe that. And I did have a conversation with Dr. Harrington about that just the other day. And he agrees that testing, continued testing, aggressive testing is a key to success. We just need to work on the back end for quicker turnaround. So I do know that on that regional call we had, they are opening up some fairly large community testing centers. I know I heard the one at Citadel Mall in Colorado Springs just opened up the other day. So it does seem that the other communities are actually getting on board with that and adopting a capability to do that wider spread testing. So I think we're on the right track with that. The only issue, the challenge is just the turnaround time on the back end.
Do we know? Well,
go ahead, Tim.
Do we know if any of the school districts are planning on implementing any of their own testing?
I don't know about testing itself. I do know that I received an email from state with a bunch of links for school protocols, and I made sure that all the school districts had that. They said they have seen and they're adopting, but it didn't specifically talk about testing. I don't know how, I don't know the specific answer, but with their resources that they have, I'm not really sure how they could effectively employ widespread testing unless they went out and got some more resources to do that.
It might be a question worth asking just if they're interested in participating in some surveillance testing efforts. I'm just remembering Carrie had developed kind of that plan of how we were going to do surveillance testing, and most of it was reliant on partnerships with organizations that had a lot of public facing folks that we perceived to be a little bit higher risk. So I wonder if revisiting that plan and having a discussion about how schools might fit in there would be worthwhile.
I will discuss that with Roberta, see if she wants me to reach out to the schools, or that may be something she's done already. And I don't want to, confuse anyone with additional people reaching out to them. So I'll talk to Roberta first, and then we'll type an answer for you next week.
Do you still have that plan that Carrie had put together? Do you remember the one I mean?
For schools?
No, for community surveillance testing and kind of how she was going to do partnerships with different businesses. And I just wonder if we need to, some of the questions I know Roberta has brought up with regards to community testing, I think might be answered by revisiting that kind of matrix that Carrie had put together.
I don't recall seeing that matrix, but I'll look around for it. But I know this was discussed at the recovery team meeting on Wednesday, because we did reach out to the clinics to find out what their capability is for testing. And they provided, most of the clinics that were doing the testing provide what that capability is. For example, they can do, 2 to 3 or 4 or 5 a day or something like that, or 10 to 12 a week. So they gave us that information, but Roberta does not have the resources, not been able to reach out to them individually to develop that coordinated testing plan with them. That has identified as a resource challenge in the reports I've been providing to reach out to all the clinics individually to develop a coordinated testing plan.
I think this plan was mostly public health testing, and it was partnerships with restaurants and childcare facilities and some other things. But it might just be worth looking at again and then thinking about how the individual clinics play into that same plan. Because it was I think it was done in like June. So it just might be worth revisiting and seeing where we are.
I think that's the plan you're referring to, where they typically do Rex's restaurants on Tuesdays. We do the community testing on Wednesday. And then there's another restaurant group that to do on Thursdays. And of course, when there's an outbreak like at the Haven, they're doing those Wednesday afternoons. So I don't know if that's the plan you're talking about, but I'll double check on that.
Yeah, I don't even know. We never saw a plan. We heard about the plan, but we never saw a plan. I don't remember.
Carrie sent it to us. I can re-forward it to you.
Now that might help Mo, because I think, you know, that was definitely.
I just refound it. I'll send it to all of you guys again. I mean, I don't know if it's still the plan we're operating from, if nobody even knows it exists except me. But maybe it's just worth looking at one more time.
Well, in fact, is Roberta, both in the last couple meetings, has said she didn't understand why we were doing that testing. So she doesn't know about it either. So
exactly. Well, I'll re-forward this document, and maybe, Mo, this is something to revisit with Roberta and with the recovery team about how this plan is or is not still relevant, and if they're, and maybe incorporating the schools into a revised version of this plan makes sense.
Okay.
All right. Well, we only have Mo for another 5 minutes. Did we want to ask Mo about potential for stage two fire restrictions?
Yeah, I'd like to hear. Mo, we've gotten some questions, understandably, from residents about kind of where we're at with that. I would sure. Like to hear some information.
So we had our monthly fire chief's breakfast on Wednesday. This was the first topic that was discussed. With the current indices, we're still under four of the seven. Which technically doesn't trigger a automatic recommendation for stage two. However, realizing that, especially up north, it seems to be the driest. Chief Swinsick said it's, you know, scary dry up there. And then, of course, with the large-scale fires that we have now down in the Pine Gulch and Grizzly Creek, we also know that a lot of resources are tied up on those two fires combined. It's about 900, I believe, firefighters on those two fires. So we believe that at a minimum, an additional indice, which we'll talk about the local resource being overwhelmed or at least at capacity, that'll probably trip this weekend when they do the measurement. So we should be at least five next week. Every week we have that Tuesday meeting, but preceding that, we have a local meeting with all the fire chiefs and the sheriff on Monday afternoon to review the indices and then see what our recommendation would be going into the meeting, and of course, dependent on what the other counties may be doing. So the meeting on Friday or Monday afternoon will be to discuss whether we think we should be proposing a stage two fire restrictions. The biggest thing for stage two, you know, even with stage one that says no campfires, but without the resources to do enforcement action, we know that there are a lot of campfires out there. So if you go to stage two, you know, it basically says there's no campfires at all other than, or no campfires at all where stage one allows them into fire pits on the campgrounds. But once again, it's an enforcement issue. So if we went into stage two, it would be primarily from a public messaging standpoint than an actual perhaps reduction in campfires. Then the biggest thing though that we have to consider is that there are some commercial implications where, you know, you can't be using welders and stuff like that. So, but I would say going into Monday's meeting, if I had to give you an estimate, I'd say we're probably about 50-50 now of whether to be recommending a stage two our fire restrictions to the commissioners on Tuesday.
Mo, it seems like everybody else is going to stage two. Is that your, around us, is that your sense as well? Maybe it's just a perception thing.
Well, you know, every county is a little different. What I mean by that is like Rio Blanco, for example, they, I'm not sure how they do it, but, you know, Sheriff Mazzola can just, you know, flip a switch and go to stage two restrictions. And of course we provide a recommendation to commissioners. And so everyone goes a little differently. But from the call last week, Rio Blanco did say that they were going to go into stage two restrictions by the end of the week. So they should be in stage two restrictions now. The way Grand County briefed it was that they are considering stage two. I think they're very similar to us. I don't believe they went in yet. Haven't seen it. And Moffitt County same type of thing. So the only one I'm aware of that went into stage two from the meeting last Tuesday was Rio Blanco County, and then of course the federal partners that are within Rio Blanco County. But I do think though that we'll see more counties saying they'll be going to stage two this or next week. I think the big thing for us, I know the fire chief's breakfast, North Route and Steamboat Springs were definitely saying, yeah, I think we're ready for stage two. I would say the biggest determining factor for us beside the indices will be what our federal partners plan on doing, because, you know, 70% of the land up in North Route is federal land. And so if the county goes into stage two, but the forest does not, then that's where it starts getting into challenges of monitoring and confusion to the public about where campfires can be had and where welding can be done and where it isn't. So I would say the primary factor would be what our federal partners would do that are within our county borders.
So Shannon Lukens reported yesterday that Moffitt and Route were the only two that were not in stage two. So Grand must have went into, because she indicated that Grand had went into stage two as well. You know, and I appreciate you guys looking at it. You know, it's kind of odd though. I mean, we have kind of an on-off switch here, yes or no to the indice question. And I guess I'm pretty concerned about the resource question. I mean, that's like a double no, you know, because there's nobody out there to give us a hand, it seems like. It looks like from moving forward, everybody's going to be on their own. So I would be personally very comfortable in going to stage two. And again, I think we're making sure we get the message out here too, that, you know, I don't know if you need to look outside to see how dry it is, but it's a tinderbox.
All right. It's 10 o'clock, Mo. We look forward to hearing your recommendation, hopefully early next week. And thank you very much.
Okay. I will, as soon as I get off that call on Tuesday, we'll be providing a recommendation.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right, the next item on our agenda is a resolution requesting DA representation of the clerk. So I believe that given the circumstances of this, it would be appropriate for me to recuse myself from voting or even the conversation. So I intend to leave this meeting before Eric makes his presentation. And then I will reconnect at 10:45 a.m. so that we can make a motion to go into executive session. And so if you guys don't have any questions, I will be leaving now.
And the gavel to Doug, the virtual gavel.
Yes. The torch is passed. All right.
So we'll meet back here on this site here at 10:45.
Correct.
We'll go to executive session.
Yep. Sounds good. See you then. Thank you.
Okay. So we'll turn over to Eric, and we'll discuss a resolution requesting the DA representation of the clerk. So Eric, you want to lean out whichever?
I'm here. Good morning, everybody. This is in regards to a motion for judicial review that was filed by Mr. Dave Wolfson in the Route County District Court. This is a challenge to the clerk's decision to not allow a cure period for correcting the number of signatures on his petition to get on the November ballot as an unaffiliated party member, excuse me. The smoke's no better up here now, I can tell you that. I'm choking on it. It was great this morning, but somehow it's just rolled in all of a sudden. Anyway, the clerk may be represented by the district attorney or the county attorney's office, or even outside counsel for that matter. There's a statute, though, that that allows the district attorney to represent elected officials if the Board of County Commissioners makes such a request, and that's what's on the table today. I'll note that the title has a typo in it, and so we'll work on correcting that before it goes up to your signature. So the request today is that the board make a request to the district attorney to represent the clerk in the matter before Judge Hill, 2020 CV4. Any questions?
Beth, do you have any questions?
Does the DA have to do it, or is this just a request? I just don't understand how that works. Like, are we telling the DA he has to?
Well, the statute uses the word request, but I've already spoken with Mr. Carson that this is anticipated and on the table today. Appears he's ready and willing to represent the clerk in that matter.
So no, I guess back to Beth's question, I assume if the district attorney had a conflict or whatever, then we would authorize or allow the clerk to have her own representation, I assume, private counsel as well. Would it not be just like any elected official?
Yeah, I think so, yes, Doug. And I'll just make the record that the reason I don't feel it's appropriate for the county attorney's office to represent the clerk in that matter is because this office directly represents the Board of County Commissioners, and obviously that involves our current chair, Tim, which is why he recused himself today. He would be running in opposition of Mr. Wolfson on the November ballot.
So what's the timeline on the turnaround on the, I mean, I see that there's something due the 19th. How long is this going to last? Is it just kind of a week or whatever?
It's unknown, Commissioner. Right now, the only thing I know for certain is that and the clerk is required to file an answer by August 19th. The judge did order, as you can tell by one of the attachments to the agenda, that the service by email she determined was sufficient for this matter, and she also expedited it because of the ballot deadlines.
Got it. I don't have any other questions. I think we need a resolution number though.
So yeah, also Eric, I just had a question. You probably drafted up the resolution. I guess my question is that on the bottom where we have the vote, should we not have all three commissioners' names there listed there? And then we note that Commissioner Corrigan had abstained.
Yeah, it seems odd the way it's laid out.
And maybe that's Kendra, if you follow what I'm saying here. I think we ought to note the record that he was abstaining and abstained from the discussion, and we will do that. But I think the resolution needs to probably indicate that as well. So
I think that's more form over substance. We have a record already today that he recused himself. He's not participating in the conversation, so he's not really abstaining. He's fully recused.
Oh, got it. Abstaining and recusing are different.
I mean, you could, I guess, circle absent. You could circle absent there, but I think the record is clear that he has recused himself.
Okay, I'm good. Form over substance. It's terrible when the accountant just asked the attorney to form over substance. Really? Okay. I'm good, Derek. I'm ready for a motion.
Yeah, Kendra, do you have a number here?
Yep, it'll be 2020-041.
Thank you. Mr. Chair Pro Tem, I move to approve resolution 2020-041, a resolution requesting representation by the district attorney for the Route County Clerk and Recorder.
I'll second that. Any other discussion? Yeah, and for discussion, just note again that Commissioner Corrigan had recused himself and was not participating at all. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Hey, Doug, how would you like this? We're going to correct that title. I've asked Linnea to do that and get it back to you, and she'll add the resolution number at the top as well. How can she get that to you best? By email, I'm assuming?
Yeah, email it, and I'll sign it and scan it and send it back to her.
Oh, okay, very good, because the clerk has to attest it as well. So thank you all for your time, and have a good weekend. I'm going to take some vacation hours this afternoon.
Good for you.
I think
you're going to go out and go for a run in the smoke.
I don't know where to run to get away from it.
Yeah, don't do that.
Problem up here.
I know running is not
problem.
So where's the?
I've just got to get my vacation time down.
Where are you guys getting the smoke from? Because we're not too bad right now in Hayden. So I mean, I'm surprised.
That's not too bad here either. There is a fire up, what's it called? Cameron Park has a fire now too. I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if that would come this direction.
Yeah, it's up by Cameron Pass. So yeah. I don't know. It doesn't look as bad as it has, but the smell, it's really heavy, acrid smell right now. Again, this morning it was fine.
Okay, so we're going to be temporarily paused here. We can stay on, stay off. We'll come back at 10:45, and we'll official motion go into executive session. So I think I'll just stay on and be gone. And I don't know. I'll just go off too. We'll just reconvene.
I'm gonna go. Also, there's nothing that Mark needs to. Chuck, we didn't really ask. And while Tim was here, we maybe should have.
Commissioners, good morning. Nothing specifically. I believe that Mo gave a good comprehensive report on everything that's transpiring within the recovery framework. The two items maybe I might just ever so briefly mention is we had a very good and very comprehensive discussion yesterday about the FY21 budget. We went about 2.5 hours yesterday with the department heads with a really good overview of what is anticipated for FY21. More detail to follow, and I'll include that in part of my reports that I'll provide to you on Monday. The other thing, and Mo touched on that ever so briefly, but again, we continue to prioritize the staffing for the public health department. It's my understanding that we have another interview of an epidemiologist candidate still upcoming, hopefully today. And as we conclude that, we may be in a position to go ahead and offer a position to the full-time individual as we solidify things with that part-time or 0.5 position that we talked about with you earlier in the week. Wednesday of next week, after your Board of Health meeting, we have already scheduled a time slot to talk about the health educator position. And at that time, we'll also discuss that outline that we've talked about of both short-term and long-term staffing for the public health department. Lastly, for the public health department, we continue to move forward on all of the space allocation requirements that we've outlined for you. We're moving very successfully on that. We're still targeting that we can be in a position to have public health in that new suite of offices by the last week of August. And that's, for now, commissioners, that's all I have. I did see, I've gotten a note this morning from the county manager at Eagle County. They've declared an emergency given the fire danger in Eagle County. I know, of course, that's the case in Garfield, but Eagle County has done that as well.
Nobody start any fires. We've got plenty to deal with without it.
All right. Looks like you guys are here. Doug, I see you. Beth?
Yep, I'm here.
Great. All right, here we go. I, acting as chair, move that the Board of County Commissioners go into executive session to discuss county manager applicants. This executive session is being electronically recorded, but minutes of the meeting will not be produced. This is an executive session for the following purpose: for discussion of a personnel matter under CRS section 24-6-4024T1 and 2, and not involving any specific employees who have requested discussion of the matter in open session, any member of this body or any elected official, the appointment of any person to fill an office of this body or of an elected official, or personnel policies that do not require the discussion of matters personal to particular employees. I caution each participant to confine all discussion to the stated purpose of the executive session, and that no formal action may occur in the executive session. If at any point in the executive session, any participant believes the discussion is going outside the proper scope of the executive session, please interrupt the discussion and make an objection. It is August 14th and the time is 10:47 a.m. It will be the Board of County Commissioners and Larry Gilley of SGR in
second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 I see that we just recently received a link from Deanna. So I will use that most recent link that I saw. Alrighty then, the time is now 12:12 p.m. and the executive session has been concluded. The following persons were present at this executive session. That would be the Board of County Commissioners and Larry Gilley of SGR. The board limited its discussion to the purpose stated in the motion to go into executive session, and no formal action was taken. You all have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday.
See you Monday.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.